left off last week, we were talking just a little bit about the ends of the malacha of a gozer, of the moving hair. So we mentioned that the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nazir that a nazir is not allowed to brush and comb his hair because that's a problem, potential problem of gozes. Why is that a gozes example? Because some of the hairs are going to fall, are going to come out. So it's not 100% clear whether that's also a mishum that the person is literally planning on removing the hairs because people, when they brush the hair, want the bad hairs to go away, or maybe it's a psigratia of the hairs going away. But in all the dust settles, the Gemara says that's also. So we know that it's also when it comes to Nazir, and then the Rishonim extended that to Shabbos as well. The Rishonim writes that it was the same Shaila. Therefore, for Shabbos, it's also a brush and comb of hair. And then the third extension is what Rabbi Kivega raises, is the question concerning payers. Rabbi Kivega says that the same way that the Gemara says that the Nazir is not allowed to pull out his hair, derech, Sarika, derech, brushing and combing, and the same way the Rivash says he can't do it on Shabbos, so it should be also to do it in terms of removing one's payers as well. So Rabbi Kivega leaves it to Achian. Is how come people comb their payas? Okay, most of us is not. So, well, I guess comb a little bit over here, but okay, whatever it is, how come people comb their payas? Isn't that a problem of obstruction of a machab in mamish? So, at the very end of the shiur last week, we just touched on this question, just to finish up this kudu of the sugi, and then move on and turn back to the Shabbos part of the discussion. So there are two possible kulas for this. That Kivega left as a tzachian, but his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer, has a limit close for all the people who are coming to pay us. He says it's based on the following, that it's always going to be a sfeik-sfeika. What is the sfeik-sfeik going to be? He says there's a big machlokes in Rishonim, whether the isser of removing one's pay us is subject to all the rules of removing one's beard. But then it is that there are two isserim. There's an isser of los akifu pas roshem, and there's an isser of los ashkes says pas zekanecha. So the reason why I didn't shave this morning, not because I'm starting to grow a beard, only because when I came upstairs to shave, I realized that my charger had a shaver wasn't charged, so much was my fault. But the thing is that you're not allowed to either remove your pants or you're not allowed to shave your beard. When it comes to shaving one's beard, so the Gemara says explicitly that that's only violated if you have a giluach sheyesh b'ashchal, so it has to be derech giluach, it has to be with a cutting motion, it has to be a cutting that's so close to the face, that's only one blade, that there's nothing left at all, so that's nothing above the surface that's left at all, that's considered to be a giluach sheyesh b'ashchal. So there's a big machlik to see Rishonim, and those klolim carry over to removing payas as well. So if you hold like the Mekil, if you hold like those Rishonim, will say that those rules apply to payas as well, so then there's nothing wrong with coming one's payas altogether. Because even if it's going to remove some of the hairs, it's going to yank them out. It's not going to cut them. It's not a raise emotion. It's like a tweeze emotion. It's a pulling. It's a yanking kind of emotion. So a yanking kind of emotion is not derech yiluach. That would be mutter. If you hold like the Rishonim, will say that no, that the kulas of Ashkenaz Tzofen don't apply to the payas, so then that would potentially still pose a problem. So that's one tzarech some sort of right. So how do we pass down that shah? That's making the dina. That's why we tell people when they get haircuts, they should be careful. They shouldn't use the machine. They shouldn't use the machine all the way down to the bottom of the, people come out with this very close cuts to the all the way down to the skin on the payas, according to Hefter Rishon, that's in a sederaisa. Because even though it's not derech hashchasa, we pass down an electric shave, it's not really derech hashchasa, but it's according to Hefter Rishon, you don't even need derech hashchasa in order to be also the payas. Therefore, want you to be very, very careful not to get these very, very close cuts in the area of the payas. Where you think the area of the payas are, that's a further question. Wherever you think the line at the end of the payas is, that's where you should be using a shofar. So most people are makel, that's a little bit higher up. Some people have different shofars, different opinions, that's exactly where the line of demarcation at the end of the payas is. But wherever you think that line is, so then you shouldn't touch that with an electric shaver. Unless the electric shaver, that's the setting, is so high that it's a mamash or nothing. That's not even, that's just mamash like scissors. So getting back to this, story. So that's one tzav l'hokol that some sefer writes. So one tzav, so if it's a deraisa, so right, so it's another tzav l'hokol. And when we say you're not allowed to remove your payas, what does that mean? Does that mean you're not allowed to remove the entire payah, or does that mean you're not allowed to remove even two hairs from the payah? So that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim hold that if you remove two hairs, that's the shiel of Pesaros and Shabbos. If you remove two hairs, that isser, whatever you think the isser is, if you merely remove two hairs from the payas, that's an isser deraisa. And the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam writes, when he quotes the dinim of shaving one's payas, cutting off one's payas, so the Rambam writes that the minig in Mitzrayim was that people would remove a lot of the hairs of their payas. They would just make sure to leave behind some. How many did they leave behind? As long as you had 40 hairs that weren't touched, so that's okay. A lot of hairs in this part of their body. So there are, as long as there are 40 hairs that are intact, so that wouldn't be a violation. Sisrei Torah, where did that come from? Ram quotes it from the Zikni Mitzrayim, the Minig Mitzrayim, the old men in Mitzrayim, the old Nechum in Mitzrayim told him that that's the Shia 40 Sarahs. So Sisrei Torah, where did that number come from? The Torah quotes a Girsa that the Girsa was 4 years, not 40 years. So also, it's Nechum of Sisrei Torah. No one knows where these numbers come from. So Chassam Sofer says the answer is very, very simple, that the Rambam clearly understood that the Yisr of removing payas does not mean to remove 2 hairs from the payas. The Yisr to remove the payas, to remove the entire payas. When you cut off and you shave off, whatever you think removing payas is, when you remove the entire payas, that's the Yisr. There's Losa Kiv Basra. The Torah doesn't say, lo tekuz Losa payas. There's Losa Kiv Basra. You're not allowed to have your head be at the point where it's payas. So what's called payas? So the shear of Cyrus, of all that, who will do with Bay Cyrus? That's the amount of Cyrus, and godless, that's the Shin Cyrus. So that there is Malacha. So if you would cut your payas to the point where you would have less than 2 hairs, if you only leave behind 1 hair, so that's the man hair is command oasis. That would be an issue of Dera. So Minat Torah, as long as you cut the payas, as long as you left 2 hairs behind, that would be okay. If you tell a guy to leave 2 hairs, he's going to make a mistake. He's going to cut a little bit further. So therefore, there was a minig that developed in Mitzrayim to make sure that you beef it up a little bit. How much was the beefing up? So according to the Rambam, the Nisuk that we have in the Rambam, the beefing up was 38 hairs more. According to the Torah's version, it was only 2 hairs more. The whole idea is those numbers, 440, don't correspond to anything real. They're not shirum deraisa. The shirum of minhag that were instituted just to make sure you don't dip beneath the point of 2 hairs. But says the Rambam, says these Achorim and Asa Rambam, as long as you, the mice left 2 hairs, Mikra, then you're really okay. So the Chassam Sofer writes, when you comb, unless you comb very vigorously, you're not going to pull out your entire sideburns. You're going to leave a lot of hairs left. So you're always going to have that Rambam to rely on. But again, we don't really pass this Rambam outright. We're not so sure like this Rambam. So it says the Chassam Sofer, see if it's fake speculum. That maybe the Rambam's right, and even if some of the Rambam's not right on this, but maybe he's right on the other hand, that as long as you don't do it with a Derech Yiluach, would be okay. So you have two good struggles to make up to come up. That's what the Minig HaOlam is. So I think most people, I have to check with the Hasidim when they comb their face. But I think most of us are not so machbe, not to comb this area of our head, not to brush this area of the head. We assume that it's probably not going to be violated.
Do you want
the
answer
of Chassi Shia? No, the Shia, according to who? According to the Rambam. No, because the Yisra is, according to the Rambam, the Yisra is also Kifi. The Yisra is not Nekilas Asiris. The Yisra is Hakos Harosh. You're not allowed to be bald in that area. That's the Yisra. Also, you've got to have round corners in the head. Anyway, so that was just the Shiraim of last week. So she had to be moving now relative to the next Malacha. So the next Malacha is once we've removed all this beautiful, wonderful wool from the animal, so we come to the realization that it's filthy, and we have to clean it. We want to make it into something nice. We want to dye it, make it into a nice, beautiful, big kahuna. So obviously, we have to clean it up first. So the Malacha that's involved is the Malacha of Malabe. Malacha Malabe, Malacha Mavan, is to make it white. I've said this over several times. Was this one that I was right or wrong on? I don't remember. This one, I forgot this one he corrected me on, or no? Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was like a double portion, but that the Spanish word for laundry is what? It says in all the places in the Heights, lavanderia or something. So when I saw that it said lavanderia, I said, oh, Lashon Libun, because the U's and the V's were the same letter in the old Latin. So the word laundry comes from the word lavan, which came from the word lavanderia. It's all the same word. So I said this over once in a shiur, and who's it? Rubens, Al Rubens, it was his father, right? His father was like a linguist or something, and he said to me that it was a nice chill there, but he didn't think it was correct, the linguist. And I wasn't really sure. I don't have a problem with it. It was pretty tough. Laundry, lavender, it was right. Okay, but yes, I was wrong. So back to the story. So the bottom line is, whether it's right or not, there's still the Malacha Deraisa of Malabe. So the Gemara says that the Malacha Deraisa of Malabe doesn't just refer to taking wool and whitewashing the wool. Anytime you clean something, anytime you clean any kind of a cloth, so that's a problem. That's good with any washing, any wash your clothing, any laundering, this is a in the Torah of Malabe. So what exactly constitutes doing the laundry? So we know the laundry is, we know the laundry is today. I mean, you take clothes, take water, you take some kind of a cleansing agent, and you rub it all together, you move it all together, and you get out the stain. That's classic Levin. So the Gemara Masechet Zvach, Sadi Dalet, has all the details of the Sugya of Levin, which is a strange thing, because you learn all Masechet Shabbos, and the Gemara never tells you what the rules of Levin are in all Masechet Shabbos. It tells you a little smattering here and there, but the clone of Levin does not appear in Masechet Shabbos, they appear in Masechet Zvach, because the Gemara Zvach is talking about the details of kibbutz by big by the garden in terms of the dam chafas. The pasuk says, "Vashastav, that if a little bit of the dam spritzes from the korban chatas onto a beged, the chametz makom kadosh. It's a mitzvah deraisa. You have to take that beged and you have to mamash wash it. Take a tub, mamash in the azar. Mamash take it and wash it, scrub it out in the azar itself. There's a mitzvah of kibbutz. So in the middle of that sugya, tucked away in parak dam chatas. So the Gemara goes through all the intricacies of what's called kibbutz. There are three areas by what kibbutz is important. One is in terms of kachim. One is in terms of tumas tzaras, because to negate begodim, the Torah says that we have a nega on a beged. It's the part of the process of determining whether you have the nega as a tamei tohar. Is b'chubas, you have to be mechabes it, which is mechabes by nega. There's a din of kibos on nega begodim, and the din of kibos is one of the lamites melachos, as part of melacha malabit. So the Gemara there goes back and forth and back and forth, all the rules of kibos in the various areas of melacha. This is the example, this Gemara that Rabbi Shechter is giving as the example, where a person can learn 157 Vlad of Masechet Shabbos and miss the boat because he never learns Vachem. Because the whole sugya of Kibbutz is in, he only can learn 38 Melachas. The 39th Melach of Kibbutz doesn't appear in Masechet Shabbos explicitly. So you got to learn all the Masechet Vachem to figure out what the problem of Shabbos are. A couple of months ago, when Mary Yaakov was in the yeshiva, they were up to learning these sugyas of kibbutz, that's how he dialed it. So I was all excited, because now I had something I could actually talk to him about. He was telling me these tayras from, these lumbish tayras from Brisk, in the middle of heavy-duty kachim. I didn't know what he was, I remember the Gemara a little bit, but I had no idea what he was talking about. But when he was telling me about kibbutz, that was a little more down-to-earth for me, so I was able to talk to him a little bit more about that, and those sugyas. Okay, good. Anyway. So in the middle of this sugya, the Gemara develops the principle that becomes the main thrust of the sugya, and that's the klal called by a beged shriyasos el kibusel. That something can constitute kibus min haTorah for Shabbos purposes, even if you didn't put any detergent on, even if you didn't scrub it, you didn't rub it, you didn't do any work to it, you didn't exert any effort to it, you just simply soaked it into water. You take a garment and soak it into water, shun, that's kibus, and that's kibus at the level of deraisa, shriyasos el kibusel. That's an issa garment deraisa. Therefore, it goes without saying, person, let's say, very tempted, has a little stain, a little something drops on his suit on Shabbos, so he runs over to the sink, he takes a little bit of water, puts it on it, so that is an Issa Goma Minatari. It's Ramesh Lul Shabbos, there is a Belishim Suffolk, that's called Shriyaso Zel Kibuso, that's something that has to be avoided at all costs. It's this sugya of Shriyaso Zel Kibuso that raises a red flag in many, many, many sugyas throughout Shabbos. There are many sugyas of the Gemara that seem to describe a person getting their garments wet on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, and somehow the Gemara talks about Hiftah's another problem, but the Gemara doesn't raise a problem of Shriyasa Kibbutz. So on one hand, it says, the Gemara says, Klar, that Shriyasa Kibbutz is a serious problem on the level of the Raisa. And yet, if you really follow that to the logical conclusion, it would be absolutely awesome under all circumstances to get any water in any garment. So the problem is, there are Gemaras that don't sound that way. There's one of the Gemaras happens to be talking about Yom Kippur. I think we spoke about this in Yom Shubash Rosh a couple of years ago. If there's a sugya in Yom Kippur where the Gemara talks about the possibility of walking through water on Yom Kippur. Why in the world does the guy walk through water on Yom Kippur? Because he has to go visit his rabbi, he has to go visit his parents. That's a great mitzvah to do. And there's a little lake, a little big giant puddle on the way. And he's going to get himself soaked on the way. So the Gemara, the whole pilkum, the Sechaz Yuma, you're allowed to do that. What's the Shailah? The Shailah is one of the Inuyim on Yom Kippur is Rechitza. You're not allowed to wash yourself on Yom Kippur. So is that considered to be washing yourself? And that's it. That's not considered to be washing. That's Rechitza She'en HaShal Tainer. Because the person is not really enjoying himself. It's not the most pleasurable activity to walk through muddy water to go visit your Rebbe on Yom Kippur. Read the Gemara, it's not an awful lot of that, a very long break. Who's going to visit the Rebbe Yom Kippur? I have barely enough time to open a Gemara Daf Yomi between the break. There's not so much time. There's less Piyutim in those days. That's the famous part from the Chayadim, the Shabur Kos of the Chayadim. That's the dish that says in the Sechaz Yuma that a Kala is allowed to wash her face for the first 30 days after she gets married. She's allowed to wash her face in Yom Kippur because we don't want the husband to think she doesn't look nice. So the Mishnah Berurah Kosul Chayyad, that we don't follow that anymore. Why? Because in the old days, the davening was shorter. They didn't have some piyutim. So the women were home, the husband were home for a little bit. There was a bigger break in Yom Kippur in the davening. So we don't want the husband to see his wife. She doesn't look nice. But today, Mishnah Berurah says, who has time to see the wife in Yom Kippur? Since the davening is so long, by the time Muslims come, Mincha starts, you're not going to see a wife anyway left Yom Kippur. So we don't have to be so, you don't have a right to be making. So whatever it is, so in the days of Gemara, a little bit more time, so the guy is walking through the water to go visit his Rebbe and Yom Kippur. So Gemara says, don't worry about it, you're allowed to walk through the water, it's not a Yom Kippur problem, because it's not Derech Tainu. The same way the Gemara says, that Rishonim Medayik from Gemara, you're allowed to wash it. Dengeldas in the morning on Yom Kippur, where the Gemara says, if your hands are mamash dirty, you're allowed to wash. All these kinds of rechitzos that are not Derech Tainu are permissible. Even if you hold that rechitza is asur Minat Torah Yom Kippur, the Chol Kisei Rishon, when they're washing Yom Kippur, and this is the Raisin, this is the Rabbanim, but it was nice that these kind of cases are going to be more fun. So Gemara says it's Mutri Tani Yom Kippur, so the Rishon says, wait a second, forget about Tani Yom Kippur, it's a much more serious problem. Isn't it a problem of Chil Yom Kippur? It's a Chil Melachan Yom Kippur. You're walking through the puddle, you're obviously wearing clothes, but the guy going to his bathing suit on Yom Kippur, it's already a little bit of a stretch. The guy's walking through with his clothes on Yom Kippur, and his clothes are getting wet, so why isn't that a problem? Why do you say Shiros is Okibu so? So if you tell me, before I read this Gemara in Zavachim, and I read Masechta Shabbos, 157 blah, and I thought the kibbutz meant doing the laundry, scrubbing and cleaning with detergent and all that kind of stuff, in that case, I got my feet wet, I got my bottom of my pants wet in the puddle, why is that called kibbutz? But once the Gemara is mechadish to me, that Shriyasa is a kibbutz, so how is it meant to walk in the water on your kibbutz? That's one question that Tosafot answers. Then there's another problem. There's a Gemara in the second Perek of Beitza. The Mishnah says in Masechta Beitza that there's an Issa D'Rabbanan, the Toivel Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Not the Tefillah Kalim that we talk about. The Gemara is real. The Mishnah is talking about Tefillah Kalim, we did Tuma. Then the Rishon have Machlokes, whether it extends to Tefillah Kalim also. But there's Zman, the Beis HaMikdash, but they have Toivel Kalim, the Shem Tuma. So the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to Toivel Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What's wrong with Tefillah Kalim? So the Gemara has four different answers. What's wrong with it? So the one that we generally assumed is that it looks like you're fixing the kli. The kli was broken, and now it was not usable because it was tummy, and now it's going to become tohar. That's a problem. So the Gemara says, really, if that's true, so then why is a person allowed to be tummy themselves? Why don't we say that the person was tummy, and now they become tohar? The Gemara says, no, that's okay, because it's near a kemaker. It looks like the person is just taking a little dip. If you see a guy walking into the mikvah, and you give on Shabbos, you think that he's probably just cooling himself down a little bit. You don't chop that he's necessarily going to be toivel. Whereas if you see a person bringing a pot into the mikvah, obviously he's going for the purpose of tefillas kelim. The Rishonim have a question whether that kulo tefillas adam applies to this manazeh. There are no quotes when I put it that says that only applies if you live in a place where it's fairly warm outside. If you live in northern Poland, where it's mamish freezing cold outside, so maybe that hetan doesn't apply. So we usually don't assume that way. We assume even if it's freezing cold in the middle of the winter, you could still do a tefillah. But it was pretty cold. Look at where some of the cities were, where the Jews lived in Europe, it was pretty cold. Just on the flight last night, so I was playing with the globe, you know, the thing. It's the only thing on the screen that's probably more to look at. So I was playing with the globe a little bit. So I was just asking, if you zoom in a little bit, so as you're flying over different parts of Europe, they'll show exactly where all the cities were. So the flight's going now, you almost don't even touch the Mediterranean. You're flying to go through Turkey. But so you're flying halfway through Belarus, you're flying through Poland. So I was looking at all the cities. I was flying over Brisk. I was maybe 100 kilometers away from Brisk. It doesn't say Brisk. It says Brest. Brest was the going. I mean, only the Jews called it Brisk, but the going called it Brest. So I had Brisk on one side, and then I saw Baranovici. I figured that's Baranovich. And then I said, Vilna. And Kulius is Kovna, I had a ball last night. It was not a chazer over all the cities as we were flying over. So some of these places are very, very cold. They're awfully high up. So they're very cold. So that's what the Ramah writes. And there were some posts in Eastern Europe who thought that the cool of the Gemara doesn't apply this man as that. So we generally don't follow that. So the Gemara says, oh, Tfilos Adam is Mutter, Tfilos Kalim is awesome. So then the Gemara says, what if you have the following? What if a person is going to do both? That means a person is Tomei, and they want to tell themselves, on the other hand, they're wearing clothing also. How in the world can they wear clothing? They're wearing clothing, because if it's very, very loose, the water's going to get right under it, so that's okay. So the Gemara says, Isha needs tovelos bebegadeha for Shabbos. That she can go ahead, she can go to the mikvah, she's wearing a very, very loose kind of a garment or something, so the water's going to get right through. So she can be toivel on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because she's allowed to toivel herself, and since she's toivel herself, so we kind of ignore the tefillas kelim, but the tefillas begadim. We assume that that's also it's also okay, since it's being part of her tefillah. So the Gemara has this razzle-dazzle kula, nuchos tefillas adam, tefillas kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Tosafot asks on the spot, so wait a second, I understand. How in the world are you going into the mikvah with your clothing on? Say, you're washing your clothing. So Taisa says, we have these Gemaras that are just talking about all these scenarios of a guy getting his clothing wet on Shabbos, and nobody in the Gemara raises a red flag. What's going on? How could it be? The Gemara in Zvachim says, Shriyas is that kibbutz is an issur gomer deraisa. So the Baal Tosfos learns bachum. So they realize their kash. They say, wait a second, the Gemara says it's also in a Torah. So how can you have Gemaras and you have Gemaras and Beit? All these Gemaras and say the Bayit that are just ignoring that whole sugya of Shriyas is a kibbutz. So the answer to that question is a multiple level of machlekes and rishonim. So each one of the answers is going to become critical for us. So one of the answers that Tosfos suggests is that Shriyas is a kibbutz only applies to something that has a stain on it, and something is dirty. If you have an absolutely clean clothing, and you're just getting clean clothing wet, it's got to do with kibbutz, but with the malabe. The malabe, the malach of kibbutz is that you're not allowed to clean dirty clothing. So the chiddush of the Gemara's malachim is that you're not allowed to clean dirty clothing even though you didn't put the dirt on. And even though you didn't scrub it, even though you didn't rub it, you didn't exert any elbow grease in the process. You just simply took a dirty article of clothing and put it into a tub of water, that's an issur gomer minat Torah. But you take a clean shirt and throw it in the water, what's the malach? What's possibly wrong with that? She also said kibbutz, so on the clean clothing is had to go. So Tosfos quotes such a yeshan, such a possibility. So
is that anything that you said all the time, clean? You walk with the shirt, the dust is already there. You go from a house to the mikveh, the shirt will be dusty.
So Tosfos says that if it has a stain on it, you can see the stain on it. The problem is a little dust you can't see. But we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about removing dust. That's a whole other part of the sugya. So this is Tosfos' first answer. So this is the easiest answer. Quintus is a pretty good kula. I mean, as long as your clothing isn't dirty, so then you can do whatever you want. You can wash your puddles, you can turn your lips, you can wash your hands, whatever you want to do is fine, as long as it's not dirty. But then Tosfos quotes another pshat in the name of the Rashbam, that the Rashbam disagreed. How did Tosfos know the Rashbam disagreed? Because the Rashbam had a comment on the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. It's all sugya in the 16th Perek of Shabbos. Very famous sugya about what do you do if well, so there's a fire in the house on Shabbos. Kalal, what do you do? So there's a difference between what the Gemara says you do and what we say practically Mizman is that to do. Mizman Chazal, so the houses were very, very far away from each other. Yaza was in a farm out in the middle of nowhere. So he has a fire in the house, he get everybody safely out of the house, and then the house burns down. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Mishnah you got to do. If lays bare, we have to just let the house burn down. It's not because of that, so you have no head to put out the fire. So the later post can say that that's only true if there's no danger to other people. If you have houses that are near each other, so Chmal Tov, you get all the people out of your house, but the guy next door's not going to get out. So we treat as well as that every house in any inhabited area as a suffix pikuach nefesh. You can't take any chesbonos. And even though the house is, let's say the other house, they're not mamish attached, they're not mamish adjacent, they're across the street. So we assume that sparks fly and fires could spread in the strangest ways that we know about. And therefore we have to treat any real fire in Shabbos as a chashash pikuach nefesh. That's what Rabbi Ribiyat has in his sefer, quoted this boy, he has in his sefer. So he quotes us from the contemporary poskim that any fire in any area where there are people are living, you cannot assume you can get everybody out. You don't know who's in the house as well, who's sleeping. Everything has to be a suffix to go from nefesh. So Rabbi in the back of his sefer, he always quotes his Maamar Karmis, everything, pages and pages of Maamar Karmis, every single statement. So when he has this statement in the sefer saying that Bizman Hazeh, we treat all houses as a chashash pikuach nefesh, he gives us the Maamar Karmis on the bottom. His footnote is the Rockland County Fire Department. So the bottom line is we assume that house fires today are very, very serious, and then one has to just put it out as quickly as possible to fight the bomb. Whatever has to be done to get it out as quickly as possible has to be done. But in the old days, in theory, you had a situation where you didn't really have to put out the fire. So in that context, the Mishnah talks about whoever a person's talus is on fire. So he's, again, assuming that's not going to spread to other things. The guy is standing outside and he realizes his clothing's on fire. So we should try to get the clothing off as quick as possible. But in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara discusses the possibility of pouring water onto the garment. So the Gemara has a whole long dish of shayla about he's not going to pour water onto the fire itself. He's going to pour water onto the other side of the talus. So eventually, when the fire comes, it's going to put itself out. So we're on the whole discussion. So it's Baruch Hashem for that sugya, because that's the whole sugya of grum. Everything that we know about grum of Bizman Hazeh, 99% of it emanates from that sugya. The Gemara talks about the possibility of I'm not doing the malacha directly, I'm doing something that's eventually going to cause the malacha to happen. The other example that the Gemara gives in that sugya is, there's a big fire and you're trying to prevent the fire from burning down the whole house. You got everybody out, but you want to save your house. So the Gemara says what you can do is you can take barrels, fill up the barrels with water, position them a few feet away from the fire, And when the fire will come, it will crack through the barrels and it will put itself out. So the Gemara says, Grama, that's okay. So the Machlokes of Rishonim, was the Gemara only Mat the Grama because it's big Makom Hefsed, or was the Gemara Mat the Grama Lagamri? That's a big enough freedom. Some people would like to say that it's Mutu Lagamri, but Lamaisa, we pass it out that way. We pass it that Grama still also meant the Rabbanon, unless there's a big, big, big Tzara. That's where all the Grama devices and everything, whether they are Grama, even those which meet the criteria of being Grama, and in no shape or form could be used, unless there's some very, very, very big Tzara. The whole institution of Grama devices that was started in Eretz Yisrael years ago was started for the army, was started for hospitals, was started for big, big, big shas and chatz, and in no shape or form can a person use them on the regular routine usage of chatz. But back to the story. So in the middle of this sig, you're pouring water onto the garment. So Tosfos raised the red flag. Tosfos says, wait a second. He said, how could you pour water onto the garment? He said, pouring water onto the garment, forget about kibbutz, forget about putting out the fire. Is that halacha malabein? That's such kasha. Isn't it a problem about it? So, according to the first day in Tosfos, it's not a kasha because the garment's clean. So the Rashbam doesn't say that. The Rashbam gives you a different shot in the Mishnah. Before the water not really on the garment, next to the garment, the whole story. So according to other Rishonim, they didn't buy into the heter of clean clothing. Even if it's clean, that would still pose a problem. So according to the Makilim, we'll say clean clothing is not a problem. I understand how the woman goes to the mikvah, and I understand how the guy walks to his Rebbe and Yom Kippur. But according to the Machmirim, that kibbutz applies, she also kibbutz applies even to mamish, perfectly clean clothing. So how do you explain away all those other sugyas? So Tosfos quotes the Hanan ben Adam, a different answer. Tosfos says, the answer is based on the following, that laundering something, cleaning something, means that at the end of the day, your result is going to be cleaner than what you started with. It means I started out with something, and I'm going to be in a better position than I was. If it was dirty, I'm going to be clean. If it's clean, it's going to look even fresher or something. But what if I take a clean garment, a fairly clean garment, and I apply water to it, and in the process of applying water to it, it gets dirtier than it was when it started. So that's what's called derech lichloch. So Rabbi Natan says that is the antithesis of the melacha of libun. That can never ever be a violation of libun. Libun cannot be the opposite of libun. The goal of libun is to get the clothing to a better position than they were before. They end up in a worse position than they were before. That's okay. So therefore, Ben Tom says, let's say I take my shirt, that's maybe a little dirty, a little clean, whatever it is, I throw into a tub of filthy water. So Ben Tom says, that's motor on Shabbos, because that's derech lichloch, that's not derech kibbutz, that's derech lichloch. It's better than a melach she hatzrich l'gufa. It's not even the melach b'chlal. It's not even the tzuras of melach. When something gets dirtier than it was when it started, that's the antithesis of what the melach of Leibun is all about. It's like Marshall Mother the Doma, that we'll talk about this hopefully much later on, in Malach of Seda, when you trap something, so some Rishonim say that if I trap something because I want to get rid of it, I don't want it, that's better than a Malach Shatzich L'Gufa. That's not Seda Bechla. The whole essence of Surah of Malach is to trap something to use it. That's what the whole essence of Seda is. When I'm removing something, so I'm doing the antithesis of what the goal of the melacha is. So when I'm doing the antithesis of the goal of the melacha, that's better than a melacha shatzich l'gufa. So that's the same thing here also. That the goal of the melacha of clean clothing. Here I'm dirtying clothing, soiling clothing, is by definition not called a melacha at all. So Rabbi Natan says that's the reason why the woman's allowed to go to the mikvah without clothing. Because the mikvah wasn't all that clean. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that in the olden days some of the girls weren't so clean. That's why some women, when they were, you know, men, they would go to the mikvah and then they felt all dirty when they came out of the mikvah. So they would go run to the bathhouse. And then, after many years, so people started to make a chesed. Wait a second, which body of water is being retired me exactly? Filthy, muddy water, that's the mikvah, or the beautiful, clean Roman Turkish bath? That must be the Roman bathtub that's being retired. So what did they stop doing? They stopped going to the mikvah. So then Chazal made a takana that if you go to the bathhouse, you become tummy. So they turn the tables on you. So the mikvahs weren't always so clean. That's a shot how that plays out as well as that at all. So the mikvahs weren't always that clean. So when the Gemara says that Isha Tavelot with the Gadeha, so that means that her clothing is getting dirtier than it was beforehand. So Ben Tam says that's the reason why it's mikvah. Not because kibbutz doesn't apply to clean clothing, because she's soiling her clothing by going. Okay, the guy's going to visit his rabbi. He's walking through filthy, muddy water to go visit his rabbi. But at the end of the day, his clothing is worse. His pants are dirtier than what they started with. So that's not called kibbutz altogether. So you have two different versions in the Rishonim. What is the matir in all these gemaras? Is the matir because the garment didn't have a stain in the first place? Or is the matir because what's being done is being done derech lichloch? So the Rishonim write that either one of these two answers will be very, very helpful with the following phenomena. A real shadow, halacha l'maaseh, it happens to us every Shabbos. You wash it till sidayim, and then you want to dry hands on a towel. What's the matter to dry hands on a towel? A towel is a garment, so by drying hands on a towel, you're going to be wetting the towel. So it should be an issur deraisa, you're cleaning the towel. Cleaning the towel, shriyasa kibasa, you're exposing the towel to a little bit of water. That's there's no shir b'dover. So shriyasa zeokibasa, the shir, a very small shir, shriyasa zeokibasa. So what's the heft of the dry hand if it's just out of the towel? So the assumption of Rishonim, most Rishonim, is that it's probably okay. So why is it okay based on what? So the first group of Rishonim, according to the first view in Taisa, says the reason why you're allowed to dry hands on the towel is the towel's clean. So you know, if the towel gets to the point where it's filthy, then that would be a problem. If the towel's clean, then it's okay. And Rabbi Natan says the reason why it's mutter, even if the towel's dirty, because it's always there to keep yourself, the more you use it, the dirtier and dirtier it gets. We're not so used to this anymore, because in America, you don't go to a public place anymore. You never see towels anymore in a public place in America. And those who are not that long ago remember those. Yeah, I prefaced my own. You might say, skip out the door. They hold their like machine about it. I remember those days back in Kerry Avenue. Remember those long, they still had the towels in your days? Okay, yeah. They don't have them anymore. Well, at least they also have paper towels. But they used to have those towels that they were very clean in the morning, but at the end of the day, there was a lot of dech lechuch there. So Rabbi Natan says, you're allowed to use those towels? Because it's dech lechuch, so that's the antithesis of cleaning things. So those are the two major approaches to this topic, but not the only approaches. There are some Rishonim that say that these kashas are really, really good kashas. These are bomb kashas. The kashas are better than the teretzim. So it's quoted from the Sefer Yireim, he said, different from his Rebbe. The Lazimit said that these kashas are really, really bomb kashas. And how can you get your clothing wet? The answer is you're not allowed to. Inochanam, the Gemara says you're allowed to be tovim begadim. So the Lazimit references the Gemara Zvachim. We look at it carefully. The Gemara Zvachim says the bad din of shriyasa zeokibusa doesn't apply to all garments. It only applies to cloth garments. It doesn't apply to leather garments. Leather, in order for kibbutz and leather, you have to scrub, you have to work on it hard. Just the silk leather will not create a problem with kibbutz. So if that's the case, as it was, maybe that's what the Gemara is talking about. But the Gemara is talking about the guy's wearing his leather. His leather jacket. So he's wearing his leather pants. So the woman's wearing her leather dress. That's what it means. So those kinds of begadim are not subject to shriyasa zeokibusa. But inochinami, if it is really, really a cloth garment, it would not be a problem. So according to those Rishonim, we don't like either one of the terutzim, how can you dry your hands on a towel on Shabbos? So other Rishonim had a different terutz. Some Rishonim write that shriyasa kibusa only means when it's soaked. Lush or shriya, like the soak. You just have to have a lot of water. You just have a couple of droplets of water, that's okay. So how much water is on your hands? So it depends. If you just wash your hands, there's a lot of water on your hands, so then that could be shriyasa kibusa. But if you shake your hands off a little bit, and you remove the excess, water, so you just have a little shirayim, little drops of water left at the end. So some Rishonim are arguing, maybe that's not called shriyasa kibusa altogether. It's such an insignificant amount of water. So that's what the Shulchan quotes, that l'chatchila, when a person washes the tefillin and Shabbos and Yontif, you shouldn't just take a towel right away and just dry your hands just like that. You should try to shake off the extra water first. The Shulchan does not say to shake it off in the face of the person who's standing behind the tefillin. Some people very machmas say, l'shame to be Yerushimayim, the expense of the other guy's clothing. So you have to shake off your hands a little bit, and then whatever little drops of water left, might you be making. So again, according to many Rishonim, that's not even necessary. According to the first day of Tosfos, that would be okay anyway, because if the towel is clean, then it's okay. Or according to Rebbe Tam, it's okay because it's derech lechluch. But according to some Rishonim, we're not so convinced that either one of those kulos apply. So then you potentially have a problem. So unless you want to use a leather towel, so the only way to be makel is you would have to get rid of the excess water, assuming that does the trick. So a couple part of it, at least today, we spoke a little bit about shriyasa zeokibusa, but the discussion is limited only to garments. We didn't even really talk about ore yet. We just referenced it for a moment. Ore and plastics and other kinds of potential modern-day equivalents of ore.
Alex's opinion, what would they say about the woman going to the mikvah? I mean, that's not a little bit of ore.
Right. So you would have to say that maybe the only hetter for that would be maybe it has to be yerachlan. Maybe it's leather. You have to say leather. It's some other kind of attention.
Well,
right.
I have a discussion about is that the man.
That's the question. Is it, if my hands are really soaked, I just washed my hands, so I got a lot of water on my hands, and some Rishonim said that's a problem, the excess water. If I shake it off, I just got a little bit of water left, that would be okay.
I thought Shriya would be...
Shriya would be like soaking.
Right.
Rishonim assumed not the way. Rishonim, even though the word Shriya does mean to soak, Rishonim assumed a lot of water is also like a Shriya, even if it's not literally a Shriya.
Okay.